Welcome back to No Flags, No Filter. I'm your host, William Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And today we're going to be recapping all the happenings of Week 7 of the NFL season in this 8th episode of the inaugural season of No Flags, No Filter. So to start things off, we're going to be jumping right into our game-by-game recaps of Week 7 of the 2025 NFL season, starting off with our Thursday night game from last week. We had the Pittsburgh Steelers traveling to the Cincinnati Bengals. Obviously, the Bengals did scratch away a win, 33-31 in an AFC North battle. And it was really cool to see this Bengals team cloud a narrow victory, you know, after falling behind by 10 early. Joe Flacco, you know, he's only been there for a week, but he engineered a phenomenal game, he was able to get the ball to the Bengals weapons. Jamar Chase and T. Higgins both had great games. They combined for almost 100 or 250 receiving yards. Jamar Chase specifically had 16 receptions for 161 yards. I mean, 16 receptions in a game is crazy. And this game was just an absolute thriller. You know, Pittsburgh's defense just gave up way too many big plays, and the Bengals offense just showed fight. I do want to give some credit to Aaron Rodgers where credit is due. You know, he did have a couple picks, but he threw 4 touchdowns and 250 plus yards, which was really, really nice to see. And just all around great game from the Bengals. You know, I talked about last week how I didn't really agree with the decision for the Browns to trade Joe Flacco away in the division like that, and I think this game just proved me right. It proved me right. I mean, Joe Flacco went off, and I think he's really given the Bengals a spark at that quarterback position, and I don't think the Bengals are out of this thing for the playoffs. You know, the AFC isn't looking as competitive for the playoffs as the NFC is so far, so I don't think the Bengals are out of this, and yeah, phenomenal game from Joe Flacco.
Yeah, a little shout out to Jalen Warren. He had the running game going for the Steelers, really good. 16 carries, 127 yards, no touchdowns. You can just tell the Steelers still need that wide receiver too on their team. It could have been George Pickens, but they decided to take a third round pick. I mean, DK Metcalf, he looked all right. They didn't really give him the ball that much. 5 targets, 3 catches, 50 yards. But I mean, these tight ends that Pittsburgh has are being used a lot. Pat Freiermuth with 5 catches. Darnell Washington, 3 catches. Jonnu Smith, 3 catches. I mean, they're getting the ball to their big guys. And I think that's Aaron Rodgers' philosophy, is getting it to those tight ends and getting the work in, because big body is just getting some good yards. Joe Flacco, I feel like this always happens with Joe Flacco. He's on a new team, and he'll win 1 or 2 games, and then everything starts to fall off again. And I don't know what it is. I'm still a little skeptical of this Bengals team. It's a good win for them, though. This kept the division close. This could have been a game that helped the Steelers run away with the division, and instead it's now like basically 1 or 2 games away from the Bengals being ahead again. This is a great offensive game. If there wasn't much defense being played, it was rough, but good win for the Bengals. Good game by the Steelers, but you just can't turn the ball over 2 times, Aaron Rodgers, and I'm sure he didn't want to do that either.
And I do want to say I was also pretty impressed with Cincinnati's O-line, you know, holding up for Joe Flacco. They really gave him a lot of time to throw in the pocket. You know, he was sacked 2 times, but I was relatively impressed with that Bengals O-line. So, yeah, that's definitely one of my takeaways. And now moving on to the Sunday slate of games, we're going to start off with our London game, the 9:30 a.m. game with the Los Angeles Rams playing the Jacksonville Jaguars. Right off the bat, obviously, this was an absolute blowout win for the Rams. And I think what we're just struggling to see is Jacksonville, they just cannot seem to find their identity on offense. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, obviously having 13 penalties and allowing 7 sacks doesn't help. I don't know. I mean, Liam Cohen comes in, supposedly an offensive guru from Tampa Bay. And I mean, Jacksonville's defense has been what's really kept them in games thus far. And the offense hasn't really, I don't think they've had a great offensive game yet. I mean, even that Chiefs game, it took them until really the 4th quarter to get things really going. So I just need to see this Jacksonville offense get going. I mean, on paper, it looks like it should be really good, you know? You got Brian Thomas, Travis Hunter, Trevor Lawrence throwing on the ball, Etienne in the backfield. But I think the main concerns for me from this game were the penalties that Jaguars had and allowing 7 sacks. I mean, it's very bad. And moving over to the Rams, Matthew Stafford played an incredible game. You know, Puka Nacua goes down. It doesn't matter. He targeted 10 different receivers and threw for 200 yards and 5 touchdown passes. That's right, 5 touchdown passes, 3 of which were to veteran wide receiver Davante Adams, who had 5 catches for 35 yards and 3 touchdowns. And my main takeaway from this game was the Rams just showed depth and balance. You know, they didn't have their star receiver. Obviously, Davante Adams is still really good, but yet they still had explosive output, and the Jaguars, their regression just seems to be continuing.
Yeah. I keep on saying it, and Trevor Lawrence is not their QB1. He's not that guy. He was really good in Clemson, and that's good for him. It didn't translate for him, I don't think. I mean, he's playing just like the 16th best quarterback in the league. He's a mid quarterback right there. Game manager. And the reason he's a game manager is because he'll give the ball to Travis Etienne and try to get some work going. But they fell behind early in this game, and they couldn't run the ball. So then you have to start passing the ball, and it exposes the kind of quarterback you are. You're 300 yards, which is good, and then one touchdown. And you can't blame that all on him. The O-line let up 7 sacks. You can't just win games with 7 sacks. Travis Hunter played a great game as a rookie. He stepped up as the number 2 pick and finally showed why he was that high. 8 catches, 100 yards in his first career touchdown. And the Rams, I mean, this is just start to finish. Up at halftime, 21-0. They just didn't let their foot off the brake. Third quarter was a little slow, but everything started going back in the fourth quarter, and it was a great game from them. Great game all around from offense. I mean, there wasn't a big running game for either team. I don't know if that's just London's Fields or just a philosophy over there, but great overall game from the Rams, and this just shows Jacksonville might have to be looking for a new quarterback in a couple of years.
I can definitely see that, but I don't think the house is out on Trevor Lawrence just yet. I mean, I think he's proved that he's a solid NFL quarterback. I think that he's proved that he's a capable starter. He's got to find that consistency. You know, he's still too inconsistent for a year 5 quarterback. And now moving on to our next game of the Sunday slate of Week 7, we had the New Orleans Saints traveling to the Chicago Bears in what was a decisive Bears victory, 26-14. When I saw this game, the Bears really leaned on that rushing attack. You know, DeAndre Swift, he's continued the past couple weeks to look like just a really, really good running back, you know. And Caleb Williams, on the other hand, he didn't play the great game. You know, he had that interception. But I think that the Bears really just had to lean on that rushing attack, you know. The Saints they've honestly kind of impressed me on defense and offense, quite frankly. I mean, they've proved to be a pretty scrappy team. I mean, they're still obviously a bad team, but they stay in games, and I think that's impressive. Saints wide receiver Chris Olave did have a season high in yardage, 98 yards and 2 touchdowns. Unfortunately, they still did lose. But yeah, my main takeaway was just the Bears are able to win these physical games inside of the trenches, in between the tackles. And I think that we're proving to see this Bears team is finally finding their footing with that Ben Johnson offense.
Yeah, and you could tell by the moves they made in the offseason. Their goal was to protect the quarterback. This game was a great example of that. Only 1 sack for 8 yards. But Caleb Williams did not play like the number 1 overall pick. He played like the number 300 overall pick in this game. But it's fine because he did just enough to win the game. DeAndre Swift was really the main takeaway. This Bears rushing attack looked just like Detroit. I mean, you have Jahmyr Gibbs, you have David Montgomery. It was kind of similar to that, really. And it was good to watch. It was fun to watch. Passing-wise and receiving-wise, there wasn't a lot to go on. I mean, they threw the ball to their big playmakers, DJ Moore and Rome Odunze. But they just didn't get anything going there. And, again, you can blame Spencer Rattler. He did have 4 total turnovers, 3 picks and 1 fumble. But, I mean, he played pretty solid for what's around him and being sacked 4 times. And especially when you can't run the ball as a team, you're putting all that pressure on a young quarterback like that, it's just so hard to get something going offensively. And scoring 14 points like that, is fine for, I mean, the leading rusher was 28 yards, and it was Alvin Kamara with 11 carries. You need to get rid of him. You need to spice something up in the backfield because he has not been working all season long. And, I mean, the beginning of last season was really like the start of his decline. He was playing well, and it just started to fall off on that. There's a lot to work out for the Saints, but this could be a team that could win a couple more games this season.
100%. Now moving on to the Cleveland Browns traveling to Miami to play the Dolphins. Obviously a blowout win for the Browns, 31-6. Right off the bat, Quinshon Judkins absolutely exploded this game. You know, 3 touchdowns, one of which was a 46-yard run, and he really got big red zone volume this game. You know, I think he's really, the past couple weeks, proved to be someone that Dylan Gabriel can really lean on, even with him being a rookie as well. And he's obviously emerged as the lead back there. And He's looked just really good the past couple weeks. The Browns defense did pick off Tua multiple times. Tyson Campbell, Rayshon Jenkins, and Ronnie Hickman all recorded interceptions. And the Dolphins offense just, I mean, it collapsed once again. I don't think Mike McDaniel is a capable NFL head coach. You know, I think he's a great coordinator, but I just don't think he has what it takes to lead and to be a head coach. So I definitely am looking for changes there in Miami. And Cleveland, this was definitely their best showing of the season, in my opinion. Defense played great. Offense played great. And Miami's troubles just continued to deepen in what has been just an absolute disaster of a season for Miami. In a season that, coming in, they had some playoff hopes, and it's been a disaster. I mean, Tua has just not looked good. He's maybe had one good game this season. I mean, it's not looking good. I'm hoping that Miami will clean house at the trade deadline. I'm looking for them to maybe trade off Jaylen Waddle to another team. But yeah, Miami has just not looked good.
Yeah. Start with Miami. Two out of the three quarterbacks in Florida are awful. Baker's the only exception to that because he is elite. Trevor Lawrence and Tua are not those guys for their teams. And those coaches are struggling. Liam Cohen is a first-year head coach, but Mike McDaniel's been here for a while. Mm-hmm. And putting up a performance like this with someone who's supposed to be your guy at quarterback and only 100 yards passing, that's not good. You can't really blame the O-line. There was only two sacks this game. They just got shut down by Cleveland's defense. Cleveland does have one of the best defenses in the league, I will say that. Miami did get the running game going, 13 carries, 82 yards for Devon Achane. But there's nothing to work on. Like, three picks and zero touchdowns. It might be time to start putting Quinn Ewers in, see if he can make an impact on the game, see if he's a guy that you can trust next year to replace Tua if that has to come to that. And the Browns, Dylan Gabriel was a game manager in this game, and that's fine. He's still trying to work out all the kinks in the offense. Quinton Judkins played like an elite back, 25 carries, 84 yards, 3 touchdowns. A lot of goal line work. That's why his averages are a little low. In passing, it wasn't much better than Tua, really, but he's a rookie. His leading receiver is Harold Fannin, another rookie. So just the rookies were taking over this game for the Browns. And this is a good win for them, but this doesn't mean a lot, really. As a coach for that, this game doesn't motivate me to like be like, yeah, we're good now. This is just, this team is terrible, and we beat up on them.
100%. And now moving on to the Philadelphia Eagles traveling to Minnesota to play the Vikings this past week. This was just everything I think I needed to see from this Eagles team. I mean, Jalen Hurts going 19 of 23 for 326 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and a perfect quarterback rating. I mean, he played an elite game. I mean, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown combined for 300 receiving yards, which I think was pretty absurd. You know, A.J. Brown had a pair of touchdowns. Devontae Smith had a long touchdown, a 79-yard touchdown, which was incredible to see. I mean, and Philadelphia's run game did get absolutely stuffed by the Vikings front. You know, Saquon and Jalen Hurts, neither of them were really able to get anything going on the ground. And then moving over to Minnesota side, Carson Wentz continues to, you know, he's sort of stepping in there after what I think was kind of a soft benching for J.J. McCarthy. And, I mean, he's managing the game pretty well, although he did throw two picks this past Sunday, which you don't want to see from a guy who you're hoping to manage the game. So definitely some of the blame goes to Carson Wentz for this game. But he did do a nice job of getting the ball to Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. You know, they combined for over 200 receiving yards, which is definitely nice to see. Jordan Addison had a season high in receiving yards. And just Minnesota's defensive game plan just did not work this game. I mean, they really sold out on trying to stop the run for Philly. And they kind of, you know, Brian Flores is known for blitzing, and they really didn't blitz. They just sort of stacked the box and tried to sell out on the run, and it did not work out for them at all. You obviously saw the result of that. And then Philly's defense, on the other hand, just continues to play really well. No surprise there. It's been a great defense for the past few years. But yeah, it was awesome to see Jalen Hurts finally air the ball out a little bit and play possibly the best game of his career.
Yeah, one thing about that, I watched the game. I watched a play. It was a pick six play. I watched Jalen Carter get through the line in less than a second swim move, nails Carson Wentz right in the ribs, forces the pick six, and then Carson Wentz is grabbing his ribs on the sideline. I mean, Jalen Carter is elite. The whole defense can be elite. We all saw that clip of Cooper DeJean having that breakup on Justin Jefferson. and Justin Jefferson said it wasn't him, it was me, but I don't know about that. This Philly defense is elite, and you made the Vikings kick 5 field goals. That's how they got most all of their points, basically, besides one touchdown. That's insane. This game from Jalen Hurts was really good, and he's trying to quiet down the noise about him not being an elite passer, and he showed that he can get the ball to his playmakers for sure. I don't know what's going on with Saquon Barkley. I don't know what's going on with this whole rushing attack. It has not been working all season. They've just been finding ways to win games, and this is a good way to extend their lead for the NFC East, but we'll see how everything starts to go, because the Cowboys offense is probably the best in the league, so they're going to need that defense to step up when they play them again. And the Vikings, there's a lot to say about this game. I mean, you have Carson Wentz as your starter. He threw 2 picks. He made some mistakes. But there's just offensive weapons are only receiving, and they didn't really run the ball much better. I mean, Jordan Mason had a solid game. He had the only touchdown of the day. And just this defense just got burnt. I mean, you blitz every time, and it did not work really well for you.
All right, now moving on to what was just an absolutely dominant performance from the Kansas City Chiefs. We had the Las Vegas Raiders traveling to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. That was an awful game from the Raiders right off the bat. I mean, credit to the Chiefs defense. They held them to 95 yards of total offense, but oh my God, that was not pretty at all. I mean, Geno Smith threw for 67 pass yards. Ashton Jensen only running for 21 yards. That was an awful game. You know, Max Crosby also went down with an injury to make things even worse. And the Raiders only ran 14 plays in the first half. I mean, that's absurd. And moving over to the Chiefs, they're peaking right now. I think this is the best team in football, in my opinion. I mean, they started sloppy the first 2 weeks, but the past 4 weeks, they've really put it together. Patrick Mahomes is playing the best football of his career, and now they have the receiving core that they had never had. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the same time, obviously with Travis Kelce there too, and they've had that now for the first time this week. Rashee Rice caught 2 touchdowns in his first game back from suspension, and that offense just looked really, really pretty, you know. Isaiah Pacheco also played a decent game on the ground, which was nice to see. But, yeah, I think you got to give credit to the Kansas City Chiefs defense. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo came in with an incredible game plan that just absolutely shut down this already struggling Raiders offense. And just the Raiders, I mean, they've just got a clean house after the season. I mean, nothing's working. I mean, you're wasting away Ashton Jensen's rookie year. It's literally nothing's working. I mean, come on. You didn't even get the ball to your leading receiver, Jacoby Myers. And, I mean, that was probably the worst game I've seen all season from Jacoby Myers. So,
yeah, there's not much to talk about for the Chiefs. Jacoby Myers was hurt, if that helps. That's why they did not get the ball to their leading receiver. We made that mistake 2 times now. No. So, there's not. I'm not even going to talk about the Raiders. That's just embarrassing. Trade anyone and anyone of value. I mean, trade Max Crosby. There's some rumors that he's going to go to the Cowboys or the Bills. I mean, just trade anyone on your team. No one is safe. No one should be excluded from that conversation. The Chiefs, I'm just praying they don't make the playoffs, so my prediction was still right. They're 4-3 right now. They've started to come back. The Broncos still have a hold on the AFC West for now. I need the Chargers to bounce back and start winning some more football games to get ahead of these Chiefs. The AFC is not a competitive division, and the Chiefs I think they're pretty close. They might be in the playoffs right now. They might not. But I do not want to see this Chiefs team in the playoffs. I would love to see them in Cancun early in January. But this game did not look like they were going to be in Cancun early in January. Yeah.
I don't see that happening. I think that this Chiefs team is looking better than they did last year. And as of right now, I think in the AFC, I can't really think of a team except maybe the Colts. We haven't really seen the Colts play an incredible team yet, but I don't see a team right now that can beat the Kansas City Chiefs in a game. Right now, that's just me, that's saying that. But anyways, moving on to our next game, we had what was probably game of the week: the New York Giants traveling to Denver to play the Broncos, and what was one of the most incredible comebacks I've ever seen. I know, you know, the Giants are leading 26-8 with 10 minutes left in the fourth, and then the Broncos, by some miracle, storm back to win 33-32. Obviously, adding to the late game drama, the Giants kicker, Jude McCatmany. He missed two extra points, and he missed an extra point late in the fourth quarter that, it was just awful.
It would have tied the game up. Yeah. 33-33.
It would have taken the game to overtime after the Broncos scored. And I mean, that's obviously, you just never want to see that. I'm not expecting him to be their kicker next week after that. And on the other hand, Jackson Dart, he definitely showed some flashes. He's continuing to look like he's their guy in New York, 100%. But my main takeaway in this game was that was just one of the most brutal meltdowns I've seen in NFL history. And credit to Denver. I mean, that was some incredible resilience. But, I mean, I think sometimes after a loss like that, it can be tough to find your footing. And I'm hoping to see the Giants bounce back after that game.
Yeah, we said that Cardinals loss to the Titans was the most embarrassing loss we've ever seen. This one is up there. You let a team score 33 points in a quarter. That would mean they put up 132 points in the game. That's ridiculous. They did that every single quarter. I don't know what happened. I don't know why the NFL coordinators are trying to like just manage the game and hold on to their lead. College football is much different. College football is gas until the end. And it just shows that you can't just try to keep your lead, extend your lead with just playing conservative. You have to play aggressive sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the Giants lost this game. I mean, you're up by so much, and then you just let this team that has a mediocre offense come back into it and win the game. There's no reason the Broncos should have won this game, except that they were just the better team. They were more resilient, and they just believed they could still win the game until the end. And it showed. I mean, this is embarrassing from the Giants. I want to see this Giants team bounce back, have a big win next week, but just losing a game like this, you're not going to see that. Bo Nix played a pretty average game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, rushing wise, he did not. He had a really good game there, but 27-50, almost barely above 50% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns, a good enough game to win the game, I guess.
All right, now moving on to a game that was just never close. We had the Indianapolis Colts traveling to Los Angeles playing the Chargers, and the Colts won 38-24 in a dominant win. Right off the bat, Jonathan Taylor played another incredible game. He raced for 3 touchdowns on 94 yards on 16 carries, and now he leads the league in rushing touchdowns with 10. And Daniel Jones is just continuing to play like an MVP candidate. He completed 23 of 34 passes for 288 and 2 touchdowns, and he's just really benefiting from the strong play action in that Shane Steichen offense and just the threat of having Jonathan Taylor in the backfield on that play action. And then on the Colts defense, I think their best players that game were DeForest Buckner and Nick Cross. You know, they both made key plays, some sacks and some interceptions that helped keep the Chargers off balance. And just the Colts, in my opinion, are really – they're solidifying themselves as a contender in the AFC. Their offense is just – it's absolutely humming, and their defense is – it's looking pretty good too. Now, moving over to the Chargers – you know, the Chargers went down early. They were down 23-3 at halftime. It forced Justin Herbert to throw the ball 55 times. He did throw for 420 yards, much of which were garbage time yards. You know, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. And obviously, you know, he put up some big numbers in garbage time. So did some of Los Angeles' receivers. I think the big surprise for me was Aronde Gadsden. I mean, never heard of him coming into this week, but he was their leading receiver. You know, 7 receptions for 164 yards and a touchdown. Keenan Allen also played a nice game, 11 receptions for 120 yards. But, I mean, the Chargers got absolutely stifled by this Colts team. I mean, this Colts team is continuing to prove that they're obviously the surprise team this year, no doubt about it. And they're just continuing to look good week in and week out. And they're holding down that one seed in the AFC right now, and I expect them to continue to do so.
Yeah. This game from the Colts shows that they're probably the only team in the AFC that can play the Chiefs and maybe win. I don't know what it is, and I love it, though. I love it from the Colts. This is awesome. I love the storyline completely. I'm rooting for them to win the AFC, to be honest. I would love to see them continue winning games like this.
Mm-hmm.
You come into the season, you're not expecting much from Daniel Jones. You don't even think Daniel Jones might be the starter. You think Anthony Richardson will be the starter, and then he just is one of the worst quarterbacks with accuracy, with his eye injury, I mean, everything. And then you hear the news, Daniel Jones is your starter. And as a Colts fan, you're probably, oh, no, we're going to have 5, maybe 6 wins at most. And you already have 6 wins, and it's been 7 weeks. That is exciting. Jonathan Taylor is back to his old form. I mean, this is crazy. Another 3-touchdown game from him. He has more 3-touchdown games than some whole NFL teams because he's just balling out right now. Daniel Jones is, you could say he's a game manager, but he's doing a great job being a game manager. I mean, he's being paid nothing to be a game manager and win games like this. This is definitely a quarterback that needs to get an extension. This whole team is playing lights out right now, and I want to keep it, see it going. They're running away with the AFC East. They're running away with AFC South. They're running away with everything. The Chargers, you just got dominated. This game is not as close as the score makes it look. I mean, it makes it look like it was a 2-touchdown game, but it really wasn't until the fourth quarter, and it doesn't mean a lot to me. Justin Herbert just needs help around him, and he lost all his playmakers. He lost all his weapons. O-linemen are weapons too, and he doesn't have his best O-lineman on the field. So I don't know. I mean, he has all his receivers back, but he just can't do much when you get dominated like that against the Colts.
All right, now moving on to what was a very exciting offensive game for the Cowboys. We had the Washington Commanders traveling to Dallas playing the Cowboys, and the Cowboys won 44-22. Right off the bat, I want to talk about Dak Prescott's quarterback play this season. I don't understand why he's not in the MVP conversation more. I mean, quite frankly, I think he could be the front runner for MVP right now. He's second in the league in passing yards, second in the league in touchdowns, first in QBR. He's only thrown 3 interceptions. He just played another incredible game this week. And I think as of right now, it's really between, I'd say, Mahomes, Dak, Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, and maybe Stafford for that MVP. But I think Dak is playing the best football of his career this year. I mean, I'd say he has the best receivers he's had all of his career this year. And, I mean, it's just looked really pretty. The offensive line has looked really good. And the Cowboys are just, without a doubt, they've been the best offensive team in the NFL thus far, except for maybe the Colts. Definitely best offensive team in the NFC. But, yeah, they played another incredible game. They absolutely blew out the Commanders. It was nice to see CeeDee Lamb return from injury and post 110 receiving yards and a touchdown. Definitely major defensive play from the game was Shamar James forcing that strip sack that led to that rushing touchdown by Jake Ferguson. And then obviously Deron Bland, you know, he had all those pick sixes a couple years ago. He added another pick six on Sunday. And Dallas, that was the first game that I've seen Dallas look like a complete team. You know, offense, defense, and special teams all really meshed. And, you know, the Commanders now, they've fallen below 500 in what has been a really competitive NFC thus far. I mean, I think the 7th seed in the NFC right now is, what, 5-2?
Could be.
The NFC is just looking really stacked thus far. So I think it's going to be a tough road to the playoffs now for Washington. And I think you have to potentially think about just, you know, is this season a wash already? You know, that defense has just really proven to struggle. And, you know, on the other hand, the Cowboys, they just looked really good this week. And I think the Cowboys definitely could be in that playoff conversation. It wouldn't surprise me if they end up making the playoffs when this thing's all said and done.
Yep. This was so good to watch as a fan. I loved this. What changed here is Eberflus decided to play man for some of the game. And there is this asterisk around a little bit. You didn't have to play Deebo Samuel. You didn't have to play Terry McLaurin. But, I mean, this is still NFL players. They're maybe bottom of the barrel, almost practice squad players. But, I mean, this was a great showing from the Dallas' defense overall. I loved everything that Eberflus had in this game. I mean, they ran the most man, I think, out of any team this weekend, which was awesome to watch. You have a young rookie in Shamar James who's upcoming. He looked amazing. I mean, he looked just like Demarion Overshown. And once Demarion Overshown's back, I mean, this linebacker core could be very solid. This defense is if it keeps on playing like this, it played like this against the Jets. Can it play like this moving forward? Because I mean, this would be a complete team, and this could be the team that wins the NFC East here. I don't even need to say anything about this offense. It's the best in the league. They can run the ball. They can pass the ball. You can't guard CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens. They go into next week playing Denver. That's a team that has a really good defense. We'll see how Sean Payton has to make adjustments to stop this Dallas offense because the Broncos can't keep up with Dallas on offense. And we'll see how that game goes, but it should be exciting. A great defense versus great offense. And then two mediocre defenses and offense on the other side of the ball. So we'll see how that game goes.
100%. And now moving on to the Green Bay Packers playing the Arizona Cardinals in Arizona this past Sunday. Obviously, it was a much closer game than I really expected. And dare I say, Jacoby Brissett has come in there and played a lot better than Kyler had.
Yeah.
Which has definitely been pretty interesting to see. You know, is there maybe a little bit of something brewing in Arizona? I mean, I really don't think Kyler's the guy. I mean, he's on, what, year 7 now, year 6? And he just hasn't really done great since that 2021 season. And Green Bay, on the other hand, I mean, they played another pretty solid game. You know, Jordan Love didn't really have to do much through the air, not really on the ground either. The Green Bay only had 250 yards of offense, but it didn't really matter because Green Bay's defense played a pretty nice game. You know, Micah Parsons, this was the first game I think we saw his potential as a Packer. He had 3 sacks, which was definitely awesome to see. He had 3 sacks, 4 tackles for a loss, 5 quarterback hits. Arguably best game that an edge rusher has played this season in the NFL. And just the Packers defense in its entirety. I mean, Rashawn Gary had a sack. Quay Walker had a sack and a half. I mean, just an incredible, incredible game from them. And credit to that Packers defensive front. That is what won them this game.
Yeah. It sucks to see Micah doing so well with the team that you got traded to. But, I mean, he played very well. They're the reason they won this game. It was a really close game. This Cardinals team is competitive with Jacoby Brissett. They're not competitive with Kyler Murray. Jordan Love, you think he's the next Aaron Rodgers as you coming in, he's been developing for 2 years. You think he could be the next Aaron Rodgers? It does not look like he's the next Aaron Rodgers. It looks like he's another game manager just trying to hand the ball off and get the ball to the playmakers, but not be an elite quarterback like he you thought he could be. The defense really carried this game away for the Packers. Cardinals, you love seeing this from Jacoby Brissett. You need a little bit more of a run offense. I mean, 57 yards is your highest carry. I mean, the Packers weren't much better. But Bam, that is your starting running back. It's just injuries plague this defense, his offense. Trey McBride, a stud game from him. 10 catches, 74 yards, 2 touchdowns. I mean, this is a great game from both teams, and the Packers had the better defense, and you know what they say, defense wins championships, so that's why they won this game.
All right, now moving on to the Sunday Night Football game. We had the Atlanta Falcons traveling to San Francisco to play the 49ers, and it was a 49ers win 20-10. Right off the bat, I can't figure out the identity of this Falcons team. I can't. I mean, they can't find consistency. I mean, you look at, for example, in Week 2, they blow out the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, and then the next week they go and get blown out by the Carolina Panthers. You know, and then they have 2 nice wins against the Commanders and the Bills. They get overconfident. They go out and they drop an egg on offense against the San Francisco 49ers. And I think specifically a lot of this is on Michael Penix. He did not play well, even though the box score makes it look like he played a decent game. But he did not play well. He was obviously under a lot of pressure from that San Francisco defense. Atlanta's offensive line did not do a great job of keeping that pocket good. But Penix, just what I've seen watching it as a fan, is he's just struggling beyond his first read. You know, he makes his first read. If his first read's open, he's incredible. I mean, he has an incredible arm. But beyond that first read, he just struggles to read the defense. And, like, obviously you have to look at it. This is only Penix's. He's only started 8 games. So, obviously, you got to give him time. But he's just struggling to read the defense. And then, obviously, moving over to Atlanta's defense, early it was looking really good. And then linebacker Devin Diablo went out, who, in my opinion, is the most important player on that Atlanta defense, at Mike linebacker. He goes out. J.D. Bertrand comes in, who's possibly the most undersized linebacker in the NFL, and all of a sudden they just run it up the middle with Christian McCaffrey the entire game. And it was not pretty at all. If they don't get Devin Diablo, that's going to be a huge hit for this defense. They did do a nice job of stopping Mac Jones from throwing the ball. You know, he'd been averaging 340 passing yards a game. But, yeah, I need to find consistency from Atlanta. I think part of it is the coaching staff. I don't think they have a good coaching staff. That's just my opinion. I don't think Raheem Morris is a good NFL head coach. And until the Falcons can find consistency, I think that they're one of the most unpredictable teams in the NFL, in my opinion, because they can go out and they can have a showing like they had against the Buffalo Bills last week, or they can come out and just drop an absolute egg like they did on Sunday Night Football. So, you know, I think there's a lot of questions surrounding the Falcons for me. I don't think it's too early to say they're out of it for the playoffs, but they've definitely, you know, they've got some tough games coming up. They do have the Dolphins this week, but then they play the Patriots and the Colts back-to-back weeks, which are obviously tough games. So Atlanta really needs to find their footing these next 2 weeks or it's going to get rough.
Yeah, you talked a lot about Atlanta. I'll go to the 49ers real quick. Robert Saleh is an elite coordinator. He is not an elite head coach. We learned that from the Jets. He went 49ers, Jets, 49ers, and it's looking like they're the best team in the NFC West. But this NFC West is really competitive. I mean, there are 3 NFC West teams in the playoff for the NFC right now, and they're all 5-2. I mean, you can't – there is immense – I mean, Packers are the 1 seed in the playoffs, and they're 4-1-1. This is an elite NFC grouping, And you can't really say the same thing for the AFC. You start to get down to the AFC bottom, and it's like 4-2, 4-3, 4-3. But it's all 5-2 or 4-1-1. And then this 49ers team didn't have much of a game plan besides just give it to Christian McCaffrey and let him make plays. Leading rusher, leading receiver. Mm-hmm. I mean, as Atlanta, you kind of think, who is their biggest playmaker on the field right now? They just did get George Kittle back, but I mean he didn't do anything this game. You know Christian McCaffrey is the most dangerous man in the field, and I mean Jeff Ulbrich has to be thinking about that. And I mean even at halftime they knew that Christian McCaffrey was gonna get the ball, and they still just didn't stop it. I mean he just literally let him go wherever he wanted to do and just ran all over him, and like just I mean. 49ers had a great game. I mean, they just destroyed the Falcons. The game is not as close as it looks. This was domination from start to finish.
Actually, to contradict that, I do think this game was a lot closer than it makes it look. The Falcons had a lot of opportunities to win this game late. Specifically, they were down 13-10 late in the game, and it's third and 13 for the 49ers, right? Third and 13. The Falcons only had 10 men on the field. They were missing a defensive back.
Coaching.
I mean, it's just a lot of it comes down to coaching with Raheem Morris. I mean, they've got to get a lot of this stuff figured out. They had some bad penalties this game. And, I mean, I think this was a very winnable game for Atlanta, and they've got to find their footing for sure. And now moving on to the Monday night doubleheader. First game, we had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers traveling to the Detroit Lions. this game showed me who the top dog in the NFC is. It's the Lions. It's the Lions. The Lions just absolutely controlled the tempo of this game. You know, they limited Tampa's offense to only 9 points and showed offensive balance and defensive discipline. And for the Buccaneers, this loss really raises questions about the consistency of the offense and the capabilities of that offense. And just the Lions are continuing to make statements, and Tampa Bay, I think, really needs to regroup after this game and reevaluate. Obviously, Detroit has a very good offense and defense. I think they're the best team in the NFC. But that game left me with a lot of questions about Tampa Bay. I mean, this was the first time that we really saw Tampa Bay play an elite team this year, and it didn't look good. You know, Baker had to throw the ball 50 times because they were down most of the game. They still don't have Bucky Irving back, obviously. And unfortunately, Mike Evans did go down with what will probably end up being a season-ending injury. You know, broken collarbone and a concussion. Ibuka, I think he really stepped up again. You know, he was a game-time decision for this game. He was kind of playing hurt. He still had 60 yards. But yeah, I think Tampa really needs to regroup after this game, figure things out. Obviously, they're still holding a 2-game lead in that NFC South. They're actually, I think, a 1-game lead over the Panthers. But after seeing this game, I don't know if Tampa Bay can really compete with the elite teams in the NFL.
Yeah, they did lose Mike Evans, and that hurts the offense. They don't have Bucky Irving, that hurts the offense. I think Detroit is a better overall team. They're more complete than Tampa Bay is this game. It is at home for them. It's a rowdy crowd in Detroit. And, I mean, they're the best team in the NFC is probably the right thing to say. I mean, they're not the one seed, but they really should be. The Packers should not be the one seed in the playoffs right now. It should be the Lions. But, you don't like to see this game from Tampa Bay. I mean, they had one single touchdown. Tez Johnson, he's playing really good for a rookie too. I mean, they have two really good rookies, but once this team gets healthy, maybe you see some improvement from offense and like being consistent, just like Falcons. But I mean, I don't know how this is not alarming, but it's like it's a little scary to see your team play like this, especially when you should be like one of the best teams in the NFL.
All right, now moving on to the second game of the Monday Night Football doubleheader. We had a game that started at 10 p.m. The Houston Texans traveling to Seattle to play the Seahawks. And what was really it was definitely a defensive battle. I mean, these are two of the definitely better defenses in the NFL. You know, both quarterbacks threw interceptions. Seattle lost the football twice. Sam Darnold lost a fumble, and Elijah Arroyo lost a fumble. Definitely player of the game was JSN. I mean, he's continuing just incredible. I mean, I think he's on pace to maybe break the NFL receiving record potentially. And Seattle's defense is just continuing to look elite. They had 3 sacks this game, which is pretty nice to see. I think their defensive player of the game for me was really Uchenna and Wosu. He looked dominant coming off the edge this game. And then I want to talk about Texans offense. It's just C.J. Stroud continues, you know, week after week. He had that one good game against the Baltimore Ravens injured defense. And he just has struggled every other game. And, I mean, the Texans are sitting at 2-4 now in a division where they have two other teams in that division competing for the playoffs. They're, what, I think 4 games behind the Colts, something like that. 3.5 games maybe. They're 3 games behind the Jags, I think. And, you know, they're just falling behind that in that division. I mean, the season could already be a wash. And I think they've just got to find some answers with that offense because what they've got going right now just isn't working. So I think Houston needs to, you know, regroup, figure some things out on offense. And I think this season's kind of a wash for them at this point.
Maybe. I don't know what went wrong with Houston. 2023, young rookie quarterback, making the playoffs. It's like, wow, this team could be really good in a couple of years. A couple of years later, they're 2-4. I don't know what didn't translate from that first season to now. But I saw a stat. The past 2 seasons, this season and 2024, Bryce Young has just as many wins as CJ Stroud does, I'm pretty sure. That's alarming considering the 2 different talent pools that Bryce Young has versus CJ Stroud. CJ Stroud's out throwing the ball to Nico Collins, and Bryce Young is throwing the ball to Xavier Leggett and Tyrone McMillan. Last year he was throwing to Adam Thielen. So this is alarming for the Texans. This game is scary. I mean, you're not really in contention for anything besides the first overall pick, but it seems like the Dolphins might run away with that one or the Titans. Sam Darnold is playing at an elite level. Jackson Smith and Jigba, he might be offensive player of the year. I mean, he's having a fantastic season. And it's not even close. I mean, he just keeps on getting higher and higher in those odds. Kenneth Walker keeps on getting poached by Zach Charbonnet, which is frustrating for all my fellow fantasy managers that have him. 2 touchdowns stolen. No skill by Zach Charbonnet. Just red zone merchant taking 2 touchdowns from him, being a better fantasy back. Other than that, this game was winnable for the Texans, but I wouldn't say. I would say Seattle was in control the whole time until the end.
All right, now we're going to move on to some of our awards for the week. We're going to do offensive, defensive, player of the week, and then team of the week. So right off the bat, my offensive player of the week, I'm going to give it to Jalen Hurts. You know, perfect passer rating, threw for 300-plus yards, 3 touchdowns. Definitely nice to see. He got the ball to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, which I think really made up for a lot of what's happened earlier in the season. Defensive player of the week, I'm going to give it to Micah Parsons. 3 sacks coming off the edge for that Green Bay Packers team. He was definitely player of the game. I think he won them that game against the Cardinals in what was a pretty close game. And then team of the week, I'm giving it to Los Angeles Rams with just an absolute dominant victory against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Absolutely shut them down on offense. And, I mean, the Rams offense obviously played very well too with the absence of Puka Nacua. Matthew Stafford throwing for 5 touchdowns. Definitely nice to see. This game was never close. And just absolute great blowout victory for the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, going off that. My offensive player of the week is Devontae Adams. 3 touchdowns. Had Matthew Stafford set the 5 touchdown record in London. Great game from him. I mean, dominant performance. Stepping up when Puka went down. Defensive, I might go back to the Rams. You took Micah. So Nate Landman really set the tone early for the Rams defense and got a sack and a half. 1 TFL. He was playing very well this game and was a big impact player for the Rams. Team of the week, I'm going to go to the Cowboys. The Cowboys defensively were solid. Offensively, lit up the scoreboard. Great game from them. Dominated the Commanders from start to finish. And it'll be an exciting game next week for them.
All right, with that, that'll bring the Week 7 recap, 8th episode of No Flags, No Filter to a close. I'm your host, Will Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And we'll be back next week with a recap of Week 8 of the NFL season. So stay tuned.